of a combination of the BI business analytics, like data science, because it's using the data. But then on the other hand, it's highly related to process management, operational management improvement.
The Operations Leadership Podcast with Gautam Basu provides insights for today's business leaders on creating value through operations improvement, process excellence, digital innovation, and organizational leadership.
Hello and welcome to the Operations Leadership Podcast. Today our guest is Tamo Leto. Tamo is the Executive Vice President for QPR Software, and he's also an expert in the area of process mining. In this interview, we discuss what process mining is, its origins, enabling technologies, how it differs from traditional business process reengineering, and some case examples of how process mining, coupled with artificial intelligence and machine learning tools, have improved supply chain process performance. Enjoy. Hello, Tamo, and welcome to the Operations Leadership Podcast.
Hi, Gautam, and good to be here.
Great, thank you. Could you, Tamo, tell us a little bit about your background and experience?
Okay, I have been in computer science for, let's say, 35 years since I started in the same year, 89, in Nokia Research Center and also in the Aalto University as a Master of Science student. So that's 35 years ago. And I graduated from Aalto in 95. And I was actually employed in several companies, but in 2000, I joined QPR Software. So that is kind of where I originate, Nokia Research Center, Aalto, and then to QPR Software. And now, since I've always been interested in the academic part as well, I started a PhD in Aalto and now graduated as a doctoral in Aalto in 2020. So I have been both in the academic side and in the QPR Software, really helping the companies to succeed.
Great. And I understand that you are an Aalto family, Tamo.
That is definitely true. So my father has graduated from Aalto University, and I have five children, and three of those are in Aalto University at the moment as we speak. So they are studying there, and the two ones are super young, so no university yet. But yeah, wow. we are Aalto fanatics, and somebody said that I got my name Timo, as you know, at that time there was a Teemu Teekkari. So I was kind of named by that.
Nice.
But anyway, it's fascinating.
now, did you do your doctorate work also in computer science, or was that in a different department?
That is correct. I did it in computer science, and I was at the same time employed in QPR Software, and I did the PhD work. It was fascinating. It was around this process mining, which is a topic for today, and then also the machine learning, AI, and the algorithms. So I really appreciate the possibility, and it was great to really see how the field is going from the academic point of view.
Wonderful. And could you tell us, Tamo, a little bit of how you got interested in operations management?
Okay, that's a good one. So I find it super fascinating. I'm kind of very much into developing organizations, developing things so that they get better. And it's always so fascinating to see detect some improvement potential. Like somebody sees, oh, we are doing something wrong, we are doing something bad, it's miserable. For me, it's always a possibility to improve. And I'm very fascinated when I see the improvement potential. And then I think the approach is more or less similar in each case. You kind of find the root cause, try to find the root causes, and then set up the improvement projects. And the golden nuggets are the ones that when you see the real improvements, that's what is driving me, and that has been driving my whole career, to really see that the things can be improved.
Sure. And of course, operations management, supply chain management, it has a big, one of the processes, if you look at the SCORE model, is the enablement processes. So I think computer science, that's the bridge of enabling technologies. You mentioned machine learning and process mining. So was that something that also garnered your interest as well?
Definitely, yes, 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 very much. And also already before that, it was like when the computers and the ERP systems were taken into use and the data warehouses were built, it was like obvious that all the technologies possibilities highlighted that the process can be improved a lot. And there was a process re-engineering projects which yielded really good results. And I was really fascinated in this, that if the team knows about the possibilities, they can do really big improvements. And operations management, logistics, manufacturing, warehousing, all of this has been changed dramatically during the past decades. And it's fascinating to see that how the computers are really working and software is really working well in this area. And sure. Of course, I want to highlight that people are there. So it's always, what is also fascinating is that it's not just the computers. You still need the people to think about what suits best in every single case and how do you run through the change management and so on. So it's fascinating.
That's a very good point, because it takes people to run the process. And of course, technology is hardly ever the silver bullet when it comes to these performance improvement projects.
Yes, I agree very much. Yes.
So you are involved with this process mining, which is a hot topic, a hot enabling technology. So could you please describe a little bit more about process mining, its origins, the technology surrounding it, and perhaps some industry applications?
Yes, I'm glad to do that. So process mining, to start with, it's a data-driven technique. It's a data-driven technique that you use to analyze, monitor, and improve your operational business processes within the organization. So it is a generic technique. It applies to every process in your organization that is creating data. So it's a data-driven technique. And what it means that it's a data-driven technique is that it is using the so-called event log, transactional event logs, which contain the information of what happened and at what exact timestamp. You can imagine some warehouse where there's picking operations, so a lot of pickings are happening and timestamps are being recorded. Or you can imagine healthcare, person goes there to certain tests and again things are done and a lot of timestamps are created into the systems. So by using that information that is stored into the systems, process mining really visualizes how processes actually work in reality. It captures everything that the company does. If you have 10,000 doctors and 100,000 nurses and millions of patients, it captures every single activity. Or if you have a huge supply chain with a lot of suppliers, thousands of suppliers, and hundreds of thousands of customers and packages going through the supply chain every day, every hour, every minute, it captures, it uses all those timestamps from the event logs. Okay, that's what it uses. And what it gives you the full visibility into how the operations are being executed. And the visibility means that you have the nice kind of a summary level, overview level, top level view of how the process typically goes. But you also have all the challenges, inefficiencies, mistakes, and problems. So full visibility means that you see the inefficiencies. You see also what didn't go right the first time. And there lies the applicability of the process mining. Since you can see the problems, you can also then evaluate the size of the improvement potential, and then find the root causes, what is causing this, and then improve so that you get rid of those problems. So that is kind of the process mining overall. So it is in the sort of a, let's say, intersection or it's a kind of a combination of the BI business analytics, like data science, because it's using the data. But then on the other hand, it's highly related to process management, operational management improvement. So because it is using the timestamps to really think about how the process is going. So it's kind of BI, data science, but it's applied into the process management area. Okay, that is kind of, you also asked like, when was it like, what's the origins? So it was like early 2000, when Will van der Aalst, a very good friend of mine and opponent in my PhD, super energetic professor, he started this kind of academic field. So it's like roughly 25 years ago. And it was based on, of course, the idea that, hey, this kind of you don't need to just go and ask the people how the process goes, which was the state of the art at that time. But you can actually use this timestamp event log information to kind of address the gap between the reality and between just, you know, the discussions. So that was early 2000, and QPR started this business in 2009. That's already 15 years ago. So this business, this area has been there. There's an academic conference for process mining, international conference, ICPM. It was just last week in Denmark, and it's an annual conference, and also like a lot of research going on in this process mining. Okay. Yeah,
that's interesting. I didn't realize that van der Aalst was your opponent.
he was indeed. I have met him maybe close to 10 times. Unfortunately, my doctoral dissertation was around the COVID times. So then we did it with the Skype. But yes. He's a very, very good friend of mine, and in a way, like in an academic way, but as an opponent, he was making a lot of good questions. So it's recorded here in the Aalto University, of course.
Yeah, and you mentioned, I mean, this is process mining. It's already 25 years old. So obviously, like with most of these type of enabling technologies, it takes some time to get the traction, to get the adoption. So how do you see that? Like, are companies actually adopting this more and more? Is it like a common thing or more common?
Well, definitely more and more. And it's interesting to see that if this sort of the academic side started 25 years ago, this kind of real adoption by the commercial private sector companies and the public organizations, that has more or less started with a good pace just 10 years ago. So it was taking 15 years time for the research to improve and for the early products to improve. So now within the last 10 years, the adoption has been growing very heavily. Still, it is the case that in Europe is leading in the adoption clearly compared to US. So the European countries and the companies here are much more interested in how the process goes, who is the process owner, what is the end-to-end process. Whereas in US, we still see much more of goal and target-driven operations, where you have a certain KPI and there's a responsibilities for the KPI, but not so clear, well-defined responsibilities for the process ownership. But of course, process mining is a tool and technique that can be used whether you have clearly defined process owners or not.
Right. And this leads me to the next question, which is around business process reengineering. I remember back in the day when I was a consultant, we did quite a few of these BPR, business process reengineering, business process redesign type of projects. So how does process mining differ from traditional business process reengineering approaches? And maybe a follow-up question to that is, do the processes need to be formalized and documented first before undergoing a process mining project engagement.
Okay, all right. So how does it differ from the traditional process reengineering? Okay, first of all, this is data-driven. Process mining is data-driven. So you take the real-world data and you analyze that. And you take the real-world data from the ERP systems, warehousing systems, CRM systems, any system that is creating the timestamp data. Where the traditional process reengineering heavily uses interviews and workshops and subjective assessments to collect the information like how things are going. So process mining is a data-driven. And now, of course, you can use process mining in your process reengineering projects as well as a tool. But the key point, process mining is data-driven. Then the second one, process mining is continuous monitoring because it uses the data. You create a connection, you extract the data, and you do process mining on continuous way. So you see every day how the process goes. Where the reengineering is typically a snapshot analysis. So you do it only once. Okay, maybe you repeat after 1 or 2 years, but in process mining, the whole process is every day in control. So it's a continuous. And obviously, process mining is only for the as-is process discovery. So if you are setting up a new company, you still need to plan your processes. How are you planning to do? How do you want to set up your supply chain and how do you think your processes should be going? Process mining is as is, so it reads the data and shows you how you are doing. And of course, a couple of things that are different is that in many studies. The study says that process mining is very objective and is very fast because of the data usage. So in terms of the reengineering being quite subjective, you can misinterpret the results and it takes kind of a quite long time. And in reengineering, you need to be very careful with the scope. You always need to specify the scope. In process mining, you don't need to specify the scope. It's recommended to take all the data your organization is creating. And then, of course, when you analyze the data, you may decide to limit your analysis in one particular area where you see more problems, for example. That's a typical, you find a root cause, you go into one area, but originally you had all the data. So that means also that you can always do the benchmark with all the other parts of the organization on daily level, like how the performance is going. Those were some of the differences. And you also asked that, is there some formal documentation needed? Absolutely not. That's one key part, that the less you know about the process, the more you get with process mining in the beginning. So if you don't know anything about the process, then process mining will still create and show you the flowchart automatically. Of course, the more you know about the project, and even if you have a design, like a process map or flowchart, that this is how it's supposed to be run, then of course you can run this kind of conformance analysis comparing your actual operations with the design. So it helps to have some formal documentation. Maybe it also helps you to identify what are the IT systems where you have the data, because you need to get the data for process mining. But definitely you don't need to do any modeling in the beginning.
So maybe a question around that, because you mentioned something interesting, that the processes don't need to be formalized, they don't need to be documented. And you also mentioned that it's the as-is analysis. So going back to the business process reengineering approach, typically there you're mapping and documenting and modeling the as-is. And then from there, there is a activity where you take out the non-value-added activities for the process, the as-is process, to re-engineer the process to as a to-be or future state process. So how does that actually correlate with the process mining approach? Because you're essentially looking at the as is.
That is correct. That is correct. So when we do the process mining analysis, we typically get a huge amount of timestamps per each process case. For example, in the delivery process, the package can be read so many times during the lifecycle during the end-to-end delivery process, when it's originally taken from the original warehouse till the moment when it reaches the end customer hands in customer warehouse. So there may be hundreds of timestamps according to the in that time period. So now, and that applies to all processes. So there can be a lot of those. Now you asked about the value adding. So the key point is, are all those timestamps, are all those events valuable, or which ones are actually valuable for the end customer? Now, in process mining, we see, as I said, hundreds of those events. And actually, the typical goal in process mining is not to reduce the amounts of those events. The typical goal is to minimize the manual activities. So in many cases, we make a big difference between automated activity and a manual, like a user and human performed activity. And right. The typical goal nowadays is to kind of reach this zero touch orders where there is no manual activities whatsoever. And if that is accomplished in the process, then it's the project group is typically quite happy. Now, what you mentioned is this value adding activities, and that is quite often on a little bit higher abstraction. So there are still some value adding and non-value adding activities, and there are still something that humans are doing, but they don't record the timestamp into any system. So those kind of activities are still something that I would say that people need to think about. There's still need for the more traditional value stream mapping and about the understanding what is value adding activities. But process mining definitely can show you all the activities that are taking place and then really help you to automate those activities.
Got it. And process mapping, obviously it's a discipline and enabling technology in itself, but how does it relate to other technology advancements such as machine learning or RPA, robotics process automation? How does that intertwine with process mining?
Okay, that's a good question. And we all know what happened with the generative AI. So the moment when the first companies were able to more or less read everything from internet and put into these generative AI models, we sort of felt that, oh, now the machine learning and the AI is really capable of answering our questions. So the same is here in process mining. You understand, originally the process mining was built in order to give the people the visibility into the process, into the supply chain, for example. So grab all the timestamps from all the systems you have and you get a full visibility. Now, consider the AI. How the AI can actually give you some real suggestions on your supply chain. Of course, you can ask generative AI, ChatGPT, some generic advice for how to improve the supply chain. But if you are working for a company, Sanofi, Metsä Group, if you're working for a big company, how do you get the process, how do you get the AI to really give you answers related to your supply chain? The answer is you need the data. And process mining is the way to get the data into the format where the AI can read it. And this is a very big thing. So when you take process mining into use, it's not only a super good tool for the humans, but it is also a super valuable source for the AI. And our research in our PhD studies and in Aalto University was highly focused on using that data in the AI predictions. And the setup is pretty clear. So process has been executed up to certain point. So we have the history of what has happened so far. And then we have the history of, let's say, 10 million process executions that have already been completed. So based on that, those histories, we can predict with a pretty high accuracy what is going to happen in the process next and when will it happen. And now when you predict this next step, you can keep on the predictions. You can then predict what's going to be the step after that and the step after that. So you can have an early warning system to detect all kind of problems that you have. Whether and if you run it to the whole model, you can have a early warning trends and forecasting systems. So everything that is kind of originates from the process point of view can be predicted with process mining. And it works super well. It's really, really great to see that in action.
Yeah, so there I could see the intersection between process mining and, for example, some of the machine learning algorithms that have the predictive values there. I can see that, let's say, the application, for example, for the supply chain in like demand forecasting, demand mm-hmm. planning, where you can actually predict potential forecast accuracy problems. But what are some of the other benefits that process mining can deliver within supply chain processes, whether it's sourcing, production, logistics, reverse logistics, so on and so forth? Could you tell us a little bit more about how that can add value?
Yes, definitely. I'm happy to do that. So first is sort of the generic benefits of process mining. I would say that we already discussed the transparency, the real understanding of what is happening in the process. That's generic. Then the efficiency to improve the process. Then compliance with the rules. So if the process ever deviates from what it should be, then that's a compliance issue and that can be detected with the process mining. And then, of course, the continuous improvement. So now let's put those into work in the supply chain management. So let's say the sourcing, procurement process. So that is one of the most common starting points for process mining. One reason is that the data is easy to get from systems like SAP and Coupa and so on. So supplier performance. First of all, we see the process not only as a generic process, but we see it separately for each supplier. If you have 10,000 suppliers, we easily with process mining, we see which suppliers are big and which are behaving according to your goals and targets, and which suppliers are somehow deviating and where you have more of the problems than normal. So your supplier source procurement people can really work with those who are sort of a challenging suppliers for you. Then, of course, the procurement cycle time in full, like how to get the approvals. Are there some bottlenecks in the business? That's very common, that there are some bottlenecks and challenges that are hindering the process in your kind of own operation side. Then the compliance with the contract terms. So you may have nice contract terms, but if your process is not fully going as it should, then there may be a lot of purchasing happening without those pre-negotiated prices or terms or even maverick buying. So we still see a huge amount of invoices coming from the suppliers without the purchase order. So you see the invoice date first, and then only after a couple of days you get the purchase order. So it automatically means that it was kind of agreed beforehand, and then they just created the purchase order later on. And the study, academic study, is saying that you lose 1.5%. You pay 1.5% more for those purchases on average, where you kind of you have it in this order. So that's kind of the procurement. But then it doesn't stop here, because the sort of the make states, the production and manufacturing. There we have the, for example, our kind of super good customer case, Metsä Group. We have done process mining together with them now starting 2011. And they have a very, very nice setup where the customer is ordering for the products, and then they want to run the kind of the cardboard mills based on the customer orders. But the products are not like some electronic delivered products. They are real cardboard and this kind of material, and it needs a ship and train and trucks to deliver, and a very complex supply chain. So in that kind of supply chain, you have a lot of bottlenecks, you have a lot of warehousing, you have a lot of production planning and scheduling, and process mining is superior in finding those challenges and then giving the root causes so that the company can always like see the biggest problems at the time. And what is biggest problem is always changing. Quarter to quarter, the biggest problem is changing because you have different products and customers and supply chains and locations. So that same applies to the delivery. On-time delivery, this is very, very often measured KPI. So on time, in full, and then run the root causes and see that what is causing these delays. And maybe it's a warehouse, maybe it's your kind of a logistics partner, maybe it is the customer who changed the order, which shouldn't have been possible, but it somehow was possible, and maybe it was some production-related issue, or maybe the wrong information was entered into the systems in the beginning, and then you needed to correct that in the end, and that's the reason why it went to the wrong warehouse and so on. These kind of real-world issues become visible when you use process mining and in supply chain specifically.
Interesting. Thank you for that. That's very, very, very interesting. And I understand your company, QPR, has its own process mining application, this process analyzer. So could you shortly tell us, you know, about this QPR process analyzer?
Yes, I'm glad to do that. Yeah, QPR process analyzer. That's correct. So we are pioneers in the manual process documentation. So we have had our manual process mapping tool in already recognized by Gartner 25, 23 years ago. And as part of our innovation activities, we were thinking that how could we support and help our customers better. And then we realized that we are always asking how the process goes, but we could use the information in the ERP systems. And that kind of innovation started our development in 2009. And then we are really thankful for Aalto University. We have done several master of theses, quite a lot, at least 10 master of science level degrees and analysis. First one was conducted in Helsinki Hospital District, and many more were following that. And we started to build the product, and the global sort of the product release launch was in 2011. And since that, we have been delivering this QPR process analyzer to in all around the world with our partners. And we are full process mining product with all the machine learning capabilities and all the analytics, and the root cause analysis is one of our key strengths, and that was a topic in my Aalto PhD research. And there's one kind of added point is that all of these 15 years, the need for analyzing bigger and bigger amounts of data has been increasing. It's like early days, we were analyzing small data sets, but nowadays we are analyzing the, for example, the supply chain data of the biggest companies employing more than 100,000 employees. So analyzing that sort of data requires huge capacity. And one of the QPR possibilities is that we are the only tool that can be run inside the Snowflake data cloud. So that also means that in supply chain, you can use all your data. You can use it. I'm still kind of referring to what is the ChatGPT and the generative AI, that they are so kind of intelligent because they have the access to all the data. And now the same thing is that if you are running a supply chain, then of course you should be using all of that data. But if all of the data is like huge, then you need some kind of intelligent cloud solution, because nobody can afford to kind of buy their own machine to analyze the data. So we use the cloud resources. And hey, one thing about QPR Process Analyzer, we received the quality award in the Finnish organization, this Laatukeskus, in 2012. Yeah, Laatukeskus.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of a nice thing to get.
Yeah, that's wonderful. No, this is super interesting. And, you know, thank you so much, Tamil, for your insights on this very fascinating topic of process mining. If listeners want to get in touch with you and learn more about process mining, how would they get in contact with you?
Okay, very good. Well, that is simple. That's easy. I mean, LinkedIn, Teemu Lehto, or just email teemu.lehto@qpr.com. And then for process mining, there's a lot of course, material in the internet and where you can find. But QPR Software is one of the key vendors in this area. And as a half academic person, I'm always super happy to discuss and share ideas, like in this podcast. Gautam, super big thanks for this. But also like you don't need to worry that I'm just trying to sell a product. No, it's not like that. It's always great to discuss, and there is no tool that automatically, you know, by miracle removes all the problems. This is an analytic tool. You still need to do the improvements yourself. There's a lot of things. It doesn't work like that. But if you don't have a process mining tool, I would strongly recommend, because it gives you full visibility, and the better you know your situation, the more accurate you can be in your improvement projects, and then monitor that you are actually receiving the results that you want.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Tamil, and thank you for being on the Operations Leadership Podcast.
Thank you very much, Gautam. Thank you very much.
That's it for this episode of the Operations Leadership Podcast. I'm your host, Gautam Basu. If you like what you're listening to with this podcast series, then please hit subscribe. And until next time.